Blog Talk Radio.
A cloak of darkness hides me from what I know is waiting. I filter out the usual night noises, listen for that other sound.
Saturday night, you're listening to Company with Gray Eye Smith. And these shows are brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets. We also have anthologies available under the same moniker on Amazon.com, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, I'm going to start posting the song, the poems here. And this first one is by Vamped Vixen. I'll post this into the group. And it's called "This Word is a Weapon" by Vamped Vixen. This word is a weapon, a sentence, my gift of destruction. I see their black boots creak as they start to shake like snakes, arming themselves as my army of verbs come to walk, hike, tread, march, storm. The sound of nouns resounding out of my mouth must be a terrible noise to their traitorous ears. They're slowly starting to grasp that my lips can move like dancers and will fight for freedom to reclaim my kingdom from the silence that they wanted to reign. I will write each name down, put them on a wall for their sins to be read loud in city center. The blackest ink from my pen, each deed, and when marring the pages of history retold with truths that cannot and will not be sold. Their names will be known, so when it is time for them to go, the universe will understand what each one did. I was blessed with the gift of words, and they will soon learn that a writer is a terrible thing. Wow, that was a beautiful expression of power and words. You can really feel the power behind the words as you read through them. I really liked where she said, the sound of nouns resounding out of my mouth must be a terrible noise to their traitors' ears. You know, words can, when spoken, can knock down the strongest warrior at times, I believe. So it was a beautiful write, excellent write, Vamped Vixen. Thank you for entering the contest. Okay, we have a SoundCloud for the next one. And this is by Jazz Turan. I'm going to grab the SoundCloud here. Okay, here we go.
Frozen in a frame, caged bird by Maya Angelou. In a pied eyes, peek out a window, scissors sit curly on the porch. Listening to the chirping of birds above the wind. Suddenly fish catching light, dressing leaves join the chorus. Jerry-kit watcher wintrily earthbound in a world of one color, sound of wind. Exquisitely setting in a chimera of cotton field as the moon has powered. As I caress my ruffled feathers, the kitchen under the morning sun, all the nest was desert birdwise. The silver thin wings still quiver. Sharing world in bed, skin showed continuous bounce in my benign blood. Transporting cool winter bees through the embodiment. We don't have. Stars being with a dreaded team. Moonbeam passing with a shadow team. Result word by the dream. A second by answering. Thank you.
Well, that was a wonderful SoundCloud and a fabulous poem, I really liked the way he captures his sentiment in this poem, where he says, children sit coyly on the porch, listening to the chirping of birds above stubble, suddenly pitch, catching light. Rotten leaves join the chorus, the delicate watcher, momentarily earthbound in a world of one color, the sound of wind, the exquisitely trudging in a chimera of a cotton field, as if the moon had flowered, just beautiful. Beautiful poetry there. I really liked it. It really spoke volumes to a scene, and he painted that picture well. So beautiful job, Jaskaran. Okay, so I'm going to bring on another caller, area code 215. Who's that?
I'm not telling. Yes.
It's you. Hi, Bill.
Oh, my gosh. How goes it? I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Sorry I was late with the audience, but they're all in. They're all in. It's pretty quick.
That's awesome. Thank you. Did you get to hear Casper's poem?
I did not. I was finishing up the last of my, tossing them in and messaging you and counting. And counting.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm sorry I can't comment on that one, but I am here, and I'm all
awesome,
ears until
awesome.
You get about four other people, and then I'll ease on down the road. You know me.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you, Bill. I've got the next poem up for you in mind, please, Bill.
Sure, if I can find it. Wait a second. I'm not set up. Here I am. By Adrian? You got
yes.
It. Okay. This is called True Love by Adrian 41062. I want to serenade you, dear, telling you how much I care. But words mean nothing until a heart is laid bare. Only when we animate every word indeed, a real heartfelt meaning and a watered seed. So it's nice to see I love you, scribbled for all to see. It's when I tell you with my mouth, the word becomes an entity. Calling through the darkness, this love from deep inside, that is when you know the truth, because it has nowhere to hide. End poem. Nice.
Well, it was a beautiful read, though. And a lovely poem. You know, it really speaks to the act as opposed to the word. You know, actions speak louder than words, is the old saying. And I think he captured that beautifully in this poem. What did you think, Bill?
I think this was a great take on the prompt. I don't remember the prompt word for word, but I know it was a great prompt. I just read it not all that long ago. And I think that, I think it was really well done. And it does. It speaks to the action and not to the word. It's easy to say I love you. It's a lot harder to show it, all the time. And, it's a challenge. That's for real. So I definitely enjoyed this, Adrian, and thank you so much. And I'm glad I got to read it for you. Mm-hmm.
Great comment. Thank you, Bill. Okay, I'm going to post the next one up here. And this is by Lyric Is Speaking, and it's called Sensual Love. I can see the reflection of your body moaning as my words are driving you. When they're spoken, flourishing your mind's alertness, focused beyond my expressions. I am undressing you, becoming my sole purpose. Not knowing where I will begin is an anxious desire, intensifying the fire, admiring your every space for that taste, capturing.
Richard?
Soothing word, becoming so enticing, your body shakes and trembles. I travel, seeing the many ways I can choose. Not to miss one place, appetite rising as I gradually pace, transforming the illuminating rafters of passion, igniting explosions, unearthing every part of your anatomy, spilling your ocean's potion. I am hoping with every term I relay. End poem. And that was a beautiful write, It again talks about actions, not words. As the quote goes, it's based on a Kanta prompt called words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning by Maya Angelou. So that's the base of the prompt. I thought he did a beautiful job expressing his intent in this poem. What did you think, Bill?
I think you're absolutely correct, and the first thing I'm going to do is I want to apologize. Okay, I have to apologize. I am so used to being on that top slot on the phones that I went to mute myself so I could call my grandson, and instead I muted you and yelled my grandson's name into the radio. So I apologize for that. I do.
Okay.
So I'm going to take this poem, and we're going to read it again on Friday night. And I apologize for your speaking. And I think you did an excellent read for most of what I heard. And the other part of what I didn't hear, I was too busy going, I don't believe you just did that, Gene. So, but it is a good take on the prompt. I have to say that because I was like, I got parts of it in between my embarrassment. But nice work, Lyric is speaking. And I'm definitely going to move it to Friday so you can hear it again without, like, the muting of Greg. So, sorry, Greg. Sorry,
okay.
Greg.
That's all right.
Just doing a
no
fine
problem.
Job
Thank
there.
You, Phil.
Oh,
okay.
God.
We have another caller. Area code 877. Who's calling, please?
Hey, guys. It's Dan DeShino.
Hey, Dan. It's good to
Dan,
have
how are you.
I'm doing well. I took two naps today, so I'm wide awake, ready to rock.
Right.
I didn't mean to
great.
Do that, but it happened. So
yeah.
I'm up and ready to hear some great poetry. I did not hear that last one, by the way, so unfortunately.
And you didn't hear me yell for my grandson? Oh, my God.
I didn't.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Okay, so I've got the next poem up. It's by Poetic Picasso, and he has a SoundCloud, so I will add a little play down.
If I could fly unto the heavens and see the angels of my loved ones past, I would tell them the meaningful words with its profound valor of I love you. Should the tears that pull down my eyes relive the innocent times of my childhood, make the sadness go away, and welcome the happiness of seeing them anew. All of this I see in a dream so colorful and so vivid in an illustration, but I know deep inside as I awake, to open my eyes once more, I shall never see them upon this earth, nor touch them as before, when the cold winds of a bitter winter approach and remind me of them. Their words are my memories I treasure and cherish forever, and I sigh as I look up into the night of the drear gloom of darkness, for I search for them like a wild dove or streaking comet, hoping I could just have one more glimpse of them. I will travel to the distant edge of the universe to be able to say to them, you may be gone, but I still remember you. I mourn your absence in damn depth. I try to understand that life is more than death. That all of you, my beloved ones past, are never gone nor truly fade away. I shall dance amongst the stars with you. I see them within the twinkling stars, smiling at me with glee, flashing a sparkling glow, as if to tell me, Francisco, we are here for you. Thus, I know now that words are for me the remembrance of love and the regret of hollow words unspoken.
Well, beautiful job on your SoundCloud, Frank. You did a wonderful take on the prompt. I really enjoyed it a lot. Yes, you know, it resonates with longing and passion for people that have passed and are now far away from you in the heavens above. And, you know, your last couplet is haunting. Thus I know now that words are for me the remembrance of love, then the regret of hollow words unspoken. Yeah, just echoes and resounds with you beautifully. What did you think, Bill?
Well, you know, I thought this was a beautiful write, not unlike so many of Frank's. It was just beautifully worded and penned, and, you know, I think that it was a great take on the prompt. I mean, it was a different angle, though, I believe. You know, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. And here it says, I see them within the twinkling stars smiling at me with glee, flashing the sparkling glow as I lift the sound me. Thank you, sir. We are here for you. Yes, I know now that words are for me the remembrance of love than the regret of hollow words unspoken. So he put a little twist on the quote, but I really liked it. I think that it just made it stand out a little more at this point, you know, for the prompt. And it just nice work, Frank, and a great read, as always.
Great comment. Thank you, Phil. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, the sound call was fantastic, as always, from Frank. And again, as always, just such beautiful poetry. I did get to, you know, look at the prompt. I didn't get to write for it, but I was thinking a lot about it. And this is a very interesting idea. I agree with you guys. I lost both my parents, and my wife lost both her parents. So, you know, we're orphans now. And, I still think of them all the time. They come into my mind, and a lot of times you do hear those words, and I love that stanza. Their words in my memories I treasure and cherish for ever. As I sigh, as I look up into the night of their drear gloom and darkness, I search for them like wild dove or streaking comet. I actually have some voicemails from my mother and my father still that I keep on my phone. I was able to keep that. Every once in a while, I'll play it and just to hear the voices. Mm-hmm. You know, just a nothing special they're saying on it, but just be able to hear that and hear the voice. Mm-hmm. So it is really, you know, interesting. I mean, that's how we communicate with each other, and that's how our loved ones, you know, talk to us and tell us. And you can, you know, to be able to still kind of hear their voices, hear their words, you know, in your memories is a huge thing. So this is this one reached inside to me, and it was really beautifully done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That was a beautiful expression of admiration, Frank. All right. So I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Daniel.
You got it. Let's see here. Excuse me. By Poetic Prince. It's called Poetry is Powerful. Poetry is the most powerful instrument, like a flute to be played. Also, it is a pungent possibility, like a newly created perfume put on, yet free to all and for all to wear. This is not to be adorned and is one of the highest of solemn calls. Words that are spoken and then engraved, never to be forgotten or ignored. It can reshape the world that is in pieces and so torn. A restorative medicine to a life that is very, very worn. And an elixir of life and a healer of the lives beset by strife. A lifter of our inner thoughts and our buried emotions. A fireworks of explosions raising us up to the newer dimension. A reversal of cacophonies, man-made devastations, words of pretty portraits and musical orchestrates of artistical words, seam stitched and woven and fashionably embroidered, also made into a steely, shining sword. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And I'm just going to read his author's notes. It says, shout out to all the poets and poetry, especially to Amanda Gorman at this time. Blessings to all. This is a rhyme and reverse poem, mostly of an abstract and some concrete, right? So an auto rank doesn't apply here. A lot of metaphors are used. This is a true and real telling, right? Blessings. Amen. And that's by Ronald A. Williams. It speaks to the power of the written word and poetry itself. You know, it's it can captivate and steal your heart and repair the brokenness of the world one poem at a time. And I thought that was a beautiful expression. But what did you think, Bill?
You know, I think that it really well to the power of words. You know, at the end there, a fireworks of explosion raising us up to a newer dimension, a reversal of cacophony, man-made devastations, words of pretty portraits and musical orchestras, of artistical words, seam-stitched and woven and fashionably embroidered, also made into steely, shining sword. Words can say so much in so many different directions. You know, you can slice and dice someone or something with words. You can, you know, puff it up and fluff it up, and you know, words are powerful. They're powerful tools, and I think this speaks to that. And I think that it was a wonderful job. And congratulations on front page pick 11 months ago. Way to go!
Absolutely, thank you, Bill. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, definitely deserve it of a front page pick. I mean, this is very, very powerful. Sure, all three of us could go on for hours talking about the power of poetry, as we're all into it. And I do think it is the most powerful of all written forms. You know, I read books all the time, and you know, this, and you can read, you know, you can read novels, you can read textbooks, but poetry, the writing in poetic form, to me, just is creates thought, and that's the kind of the purpose of it, is it can have multiple kind of layers and meanings, and that's honestly why I write in that way. I always never consider myself a poet, more of a philosopher, which every person who's ever walked the earth is, that likes to write in poetic form, just because it kind of, again, creates more thought as opposed to writing in like a textbook form. You know, and novels and textbooks can have kind of poetry or a poetic you know, feels to them, but you know, I really like the power that he said. And I love the very beginning. Poetry is the most powerful instrument, like a flute to be played. It is also a pungent possibility, like a new creative performance. You know, it can reach all your senses, and it really is kind of like music, like artistry, like this kind of creative, you know, emotional flow to it, like music. So. Very well deserved front page pick, and I admire this poem a lot.
Great, Bob. I thank you, Daniel. Okay, I'm going to post another poem here. This is by Doc Frank, and it's called Maya. They will not forget what you said. Forget what you did. Or sorry, they will forget what you said. Forget what you did. But they will never forget how you made them feel. And Paul. Well, you know, there's so much said in that little three-line poem that really hits to the measure of what you know, what poetry makes you feel, and the impact on somebody's life. And I thought it was a beautiful expression of that. What did you think, Bill?
What did I think I answered this? I don't know. I thought it was very well done. I think I did. I sort of spoke on how powerful words were. But I did want to make a comment. Maybe that's why you called on me. I wanted to say to Dan, you know, poetry, I think, I believe the history, some of the history in poetry was it was used to make political statements and what have you. And it was meant to kind of disguise it a little bit in ways. But I think that the truth of the matter is you can say a lot of things in poetry, and the type of poetry and the way it's written can make it more palatable and easier for people to digest and to absorb. So I think points are made in such a stronger fashion, you know, with more of a subtle approach. So, yeah, it is pretty cool like that. And hello, Luyu.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Luyu.
Hi, Gray Eyes, Phil, Daniel. I see that Frank and Ash are on the site, so hello to everybody.
Yep.
And Phil, I that's you're 100% correct on that. That's why I love poetry and I love the site and you you agree. And until this very moment, I never thought of looking up the history of poetry, and now I'm going to have to do it. As soon as you said those words, I was like, I've never looked up the history of, like, yeah. Where did it come? Where did it start? So now you just gave me a new obsession. Now I'm not going to sleep at all tonight.
I'm not even sure that I'm 100% I don't know that I'm 100%.
Oh,
that.
No, it's Phil. Something. You're going to give him insomnia.
You did. I just can't believe I never even thought of looking that up. So
there is some truth in that. It was used to carry political messages. But I don't know
really
like, if it encircles it, you know. So, yeah, so let us know how you made up.
Absolutely. That's really interesting. I'm going to have to play with that.
Very cool. Keeping people up at night. See how I am?
That's it.
Midnight poetry.
Did you get a chance to hear?
That's right.
Frank.
That's us.
Excuse me?
Did you get a chance to hear Doc Frank Bowman?
No, I didn't. But I did look at it.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just, you know, this is what affects me with poetry. If you're able to pull me in and make me feel whatever it is that you're feeling, you know, it's just so addictive to see the different types of writing, history, emotions, you know, especially like people who write like Titus Llewellyn, who do the classical type of writing. It's just all of this is just fascinating. It's just fascinating, and it's true. You know, how you make somebody feel, it's those emotions that you carry with you and you remember. And just like anything that happens, a song or a smell or music, it just pulls us back into that situation, whether it's something that hurt us or it's something that elated us and makes us happy. This was... A brevity, powerful, and well-written.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lydia. Okay, Lydia, would you mind reading since you just called in?
Okay. If I can, yeah. Sure thing.
Thank you.
And by Soliloquy?
Soliloquy, yeah.
Okay. The Hard Works, a Buke and Spurs verse by Soliloquy. Outside my bedroom window, the rain is falling, rejuvenating that St. Augustine, while I, half-clad, wish that I would revive my heart, that I might find the love which I once held in my embrace, so that my wife might know our bonds were not washed away. In the gales of an empty bottle of Jack Daniels atop the nightstand. End poem.
Beautiful read, Leah. And, you know, this is heart-wrenching. You know, you can feel the loneliness and the sadness as he sits there looking out the window as the rain's falling and he's half-clad. You know, he's thinking back to the love that he once held in his embrace with his wife, and, you know, that she may know that the bonds were not washed away with the gales of an empty Jack Daniels atop a nightstand. It's just a beautiful poem, very heart-wrenching. No, that was a wonderful poem. Excellent reading. Bill, what did you think? Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And it is that you know the thought of you know still trying to communicate with people after it's you know it sounds like somebody is the which I once held my embrace. So I don't know if he's talking about somebody who passed away or but at any rate, just trying to. to reconnect, which you always do, you know, when you lose somebody, especially if you lose your love, your partner. So really very, very deep. And I like the St. Augustine. I don't know if he's referring to the, you know, kind of fountain of youth, or the ancientness of the location down there, but rejuvenating the St. Augustine King while I half clad, wishing that, or if he's, that's just where he is, wishing that it would revive my heart. a very, very heart-wrenching and emotional, like you said, Gray. So great job, Soliloquy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel. Lou, what did you think?
For me, this was somebody drowning in their liquor with memories. Whether, like Daniel brought out, whether they passed away or something that made him remember her, whether she left or not, you know, and that the love that he had has impacted him so much that he, you know, he feels like his heart needs to be revived and that he needs to find that love again. But, you know, it's, even though he's saying that, he's telling her, it's you that I would really want back in my arms. Deeply painful, deeply sad, beautiful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Lou. And Phil, are you back?
I am back, and I'm so sorry. I did not hear Soliloquy's poem. I posted something in the room, and I feel like we need to make a correction. That poem by Doc Frank was actually a Maya Angelou quote. So I apologize for having to do that on air, but since we read it, I don't want people to think that we're, you know, like, you know, just trying to pull one over. So anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just, you know, we need to correct our things like that. So, okay. Now you're being quiet now.
Great comment. Sorry. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. Would you mind reading, Phil?
Yeah. Am I reading for Curtis Exmeyer?
You are.
This is how he knows I'm going to know what I'm commenting on, because he knows I'm going to read it. Sorry, Gray. This is called Phototaxis. And this is write a poem inspired by the origin or definition of a popular word or phrase. From the Greek photo, meaning light, and the Latin taxis, for the movement of an organism or cell in response to stimulus. It means how living things react to light. How the word dances in my mouth, trampoline. Trampoline backflips off the tongue as a chant. Phototaxis, phototaxis. Roaches scatter with the flip of a switch, like shards of shattered glass. A flame doesn't attract moths. It confuses them. Strobe lights disorient party goers. Parades of torches and hounds hunt for slaves escaped in the night. Parades of flashlights and German shepherds hunt for immigrants hopping the border at dusk. A man sees blue and red in his rearview mirror, spotlight in his face, asks for license and registration, photo taxis. We stop on red, go on green, and form a hypnosis, photo taxis. Our eyes transfix on TV and computer screens, like deer caught in high beams, phototaxis. A sea turtle inches closer towards extinction because her hatchlings mistake the glow of skyscrapers and beachside condos for the moon, crawling over sand dunes as prey for night gulls and raccoons. The 4th of July, neon signs in Vegas, phototaxis. A child blinks inside a family portrait, phototaxis. An actress stands paralyzed at the size of Times Square, and the minnow readies itself for the jaws of an anglerfish, a species of deep-sea jellyfish, ignites itself, not only to stun its would-be predator, but to reveal that predator's position, calling the attention of bigger fish to come feast on its antagonist. But mostly, I imagine Joan of Arc illuminating the dark like an embodiment of Eureka. Turning her head like a flower towards the sun, wood sparkling fireworks to send her embarking on a quest towards unknown destination, All the while, Boy peeks out from the crowd, longing to know instantly the beacon beckoning him, to touch tenderly the body of a woman, curious as she stands steadfast, a lighthouse in the face of orange waves. Smoke rising, drops of ocean foam. He knows such rays of God's pure love will surely singe his eyes, blind him, judge him, as she has been judged. He is not so much allured or enraptured, but confused by the conditions of his unconditional mercy, aware he cannot retreat, nor risk getting close, lest he be boned. And yet something deep inside him cannot bring itself to look away. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bill. And, you know, this is a haunting poem. You know, it's full of all these tragic and situational circumstances of parades of torches and towns hunt for slaves escaped in the night, parades of flashlights and German shepherds hunt for immigrants hopping the border at dusk. A man sees blue and red in his rearview mirror, spotlight in his face, asks for license and registration, photo taxes. Yeah, a beautiful haunting, right? Excellent job for this. And beautiful read. Phil, what did you think?
Thank you. Well, I think Phil did a beautiful job in reading this. You know, he's talking about animal nature and human nature, you know, how this type of light and movement stimulates all of us, you know. And he gives different examples here that, you know, at times the phototaxis is something that preserves us and that we remember for safety, but at the same token, if it's mistaken for something else, it could cause or be the death of us. And, you know, we become the, you know, like it says that, you become the prey. And, you know, he even talks about actresses and everything, and then he talks about the light of somebody who is lit within, you know, a spiritual light. He goes into the spiritual light of somebody who stands up, even though the photo, you know, that photo and the light is the fire that she possibly, you know, like a moth to a flame that she, you know, that she could possibly be burned with. And even children, which are very susceptible to seeing somebody inside, like, you know, even dogs do that. If they don't, they see somebody with a bad energy, they will bark and don't want to come near them. And children don't want to come near them either, and they hold on to the parents, and if you try to force them to touch that person, you know, they scream. So, you know, this is just part of human nature. Sorry for the long comment.
That's great. Thank you, Leah. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot in this. This is a pretty amazing poem, I think. You know, the ones that stick out to me was the I lost it right. There we go. We stop on red, go on green, a form of hypnosis. And, you know, he's talking at phototaxis, the response of living things on light. And he's talking about that with us. And it really is, you know, there's so many things that we do that we don't think about. You know, we shouldn't. We shouldn't be questioning why we stop at a red light, right? But we never think about so many things that we just do on command, which is really interesting. And then kind of goes back to it again, paralyzed by the size of Times Square as a minnow readies itself for the jaws, which is a very deep thought of when, if you know, if you are in Times Square, you're like, you know, comparing like the ads and the lights to jaws of an anglerfish that, you know, they're just ready to swarm down and take you in and capture you. But then how he goes to the beauty of a woman, and how he's almost blaming light for that. Like, got like this boy seeing a woman and having, you know, amorous thoughts for her and blaming his eyes, but blaming the light that he sees for, you know, thinking that he's going to be judged because he's judging her just on her beauty. And having that as part of the light was a very interesting way to kind of, to end that. So, it's extremely deep and so many great thoughts in here. I'm not following Curtis Meyer, but I'm going to right now. So great job, Curtis.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
You know, I thought that this was an excellent work. Clever and well-written, and I thought it was pretty incredible chain of thought. Wonderful share, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Daniel, you're up next to read, please.
I am. Okay, hold on a second here. I'm not ready, and now I am. This is by Postscript Angel. It's called All I Have Left Are Scars. Oh, I like the title. When I close my mahogany eyes, I can see a fractured tomorrow screaming in mid-whispers, a prayer uttered in the dark. But then there is light radiating from within, paper-thin silk, like a lone candle lit in the shadows of uncertainty. There is honesty. There is truth. There is also a sinister thought forming at the edges, however hidden in the parameters of doubt. There is also rain through its always... the rain that drowns the pretense. The masquerade ends as the music of the sky fills the void like a rooftop monologue, a conversation writ in water echoing through the frailty of time. When I sing his name, a fate hosanna burns inside my ribcage like a birdsong buried 6 feet beneath all these memories haunting in my mind. Similar to a vengeful ghost, as film reels of yesterday take flight too close to the sun, awaiting their rebirth as they burn. Then the silence, it fills the emptiness like a broken siren, a wailing banshee muted, abrupt like how an unexpected visitor interrupts a discussion. The heart palpitates, pregnant with longing, hoping for semblance of emotion. I write, therefore I am. There are no unspoken words left. The inevitability of existence cannot be defined by ellipses. So every time I close these eyes, I only hear a silhouette of language, a cacophony of a little indecipherable, but the meaning is understood. A convenient misplaced, a covenant, excuse me, misplaced, but has now been revealed. These veins are fault lines, and the cigarette burns on my legs have finally faded now that you're gone. All I have left are scars. End poem.
Well, that was a haunting poem. Especially that last stanza. These veins are fault lines and the cigarette burns on my legs have finally faded. Now that you're gone, all I have left are scars. Wow, that was a powerful poem. It was deeply insightful and introspective throughout the poem. When I sing his name, a faint hosanna burns inside my ribcage like a bird song, buried 6 feet beneath all these memories haunting my mind, similar to a vengeful ghost as film reels of yesterday take flight too close to the sun, awaiting their rebirth as they burn. How epic is that? That was an epic poem. What did you think, Bill?
I thought it was a very strong and powerful write. I think it was beautifully done, and I have to say, there are so many good lines in this, but I'll pull the last two. What was that saying? But I write, therefore I am. There are no unspoken words left. The inevitability of existence cannot be defined by ellipsis. So every time I close these eyes, I only hear a silhouette of language, a cacophony, a little indecipherable, but the meaning is understood, a covenant misplaced but has now been revealed. And then, those last two just sealed it, just tied it up in a bow. Not a pretty frilly bow, but a bow. And it pulled it all together right there. So excellent, excellent work, Postscript Angel. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Phil. That was a great comment. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Danny, you did such a fantastic job in reading this, and this is such a fantastic poem. You know, I'm sure that when we were reading this, we could find ourselves inside these lines and images that she put there. I really like when she says, there is a light radiating from within, paper-thin silk, like a lone candle, like the shadows of uncertainty. And then, she talks about, even though there's that candle that's inside us, there's the parameters of doubt where it's our doubt of ourselves, and usually the doubt of ourselves comes from the things so many times people tell us, and many people burn themselves because that's their only way of self-control. They can't control the situation or the person or the things that they tell them, but they feel like they're controlling themselves with this. And, I really liked also, there are no unspoken words left. The inability of existence cannot be defined by ellipsis. So when I close my eyes, I only hear a silhouette of language. You know, our mind is constantly talking to us. And I just found this very powerful, very personal, and I could see myself a lot in this poem. I really enjoyed it.
Great, Mom. Thank you for sharing that, Liu. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was absolutely amazing. I was pretty in awe. I was reading it. Honestly, it was all I could do to not stop reading and just kind of think about it, but I kept going because I was really taken back by it. It looks like it won a gold. Very, very well deserved. I agree with what everybody said. I'll concentrate on the silence. It fills the emptiness like a broken siren. Abrupt, like how an unexpected visitor interrupts the discussion. Such an amazing take on, how silence kind of interrupts your thoughts. And I think of that a lot, how, the we think, silence should be peace, but a lot of times silence is not, it's agony, because now your mind can kind of think, right? You're not taken aback by it. So it was really interesting. And then the heart palpitates pregnant, so that's it's this birth, it's this child of emotion that you want to come forward, that silence is not letting it come in. It was a really amazing take on the absence of words for this, right? So just followed her again as well too. So I'm building up my good library.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Bill, did I get you?
Yes, you did. You did. But I have to say, okay. Incredible image throughout that entire poem. So I figured I might as well mention that too. Every time you come back to
Absolutely.
Me, I'll think of something.
Thank you. Lee, would you mind reading next, please?
Okay. By Fadwa Sidani.
Yes.
Titled Hyrias. She smiled when he sold her dresses and unused distresses for decoration, replace her frame with records of classical claims on the shelf, and empty bottles without a filled half. She smiled while she saw the pile of her whole life on the ground and slept. Every night to the sound of bloodhound, he took her children but left a few as a cue that he heeds the prayer of the deadly drum. And looking at the crime, she smiled because his baleful instrument failed to rhyme. Her epiphany was her agony, and courage was a ridge he failed to climb. End poem.
Wow. Beautiful read, Lee. But this is another haunting poem where she's like a pile of laundry and laying on the floor and slept every night to the sound of a bloodhound. And then he took her children but left a few as a cue that he is the player of a deadly drum. And looking at a crime, she smiled because his faithful instrument failed to rhyme. Her euphony was his agony, and courage was a ridge that he failed to climb. Just a beautiful poem filled with tragedy and darkness. Excellent work. What did you think, Bill?
I think that this was a painful write in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things were very well expressed. She goes through all these things, but down at the end, it lands, and to me, it ends on a note of hope. Her euphony was his agony, and courage was a ridge he failed to climb. Because being courageous, she was not defeatable in that respect. He may take a lot of things away from her, but he couldn't take that. She was determined and she did her best. And I think that that really said a lot. It was sad and painful, but I have to say I found it to be a note of hope at the end. So great job.
Great comment, Bill. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Ashmish to the show. Hello, Ashmish.
Yes.
Hey,
Ash.
Can you hear me?
Welcome,
hey,
welcome.
You...
Yes, ma'am.
I'm good. And I have a mic on here. That's great. I'll tell you what, I know I just came in and I didn't get to read the whole poem, but I read the first stanza. And I'll go ahead real quick and just say from the first stanza, I didn't read the rest or hear it, but it's definitely something. This poem by Postscript Angel is wonderful, just the first stanza, and I didn't read the rest. I'm sorry I keep saying that, but I totally relate to it, and it's somebody who's been through a lot and feels like there's no one there for them, you know, and just really needs someone to hear what they want to, like, get out, even if they're telling people, maybe they're not understanding, but they must totally just, I feel like they need someone to really just look at them and go, I get it, and I think we've all been there, and I could be interpreting it wrong again. I only read the first thing, so, but I want to welcome also everyone, you know, not welcome, but sorry, I'm nervous. I haven't been on in a while, but I love that y'all are still doing this, and every time in my life when I feel like I need a community to surround me, y'all are always there. So thank you.
You're welcome. We love having you.
Yeah, welcome. And Daniel, what are your thoughts on the poem?
Yeah, this is pretty obviously very deep and personal. I'd love to kind of know more about that. I forget who commented it, Phil or Liu. I think it was Phil on the end, where there was some hope, and I really liked the part about the a few as a cue we took the player of the deadly drum, but looking she smiled because his faithfulness failed to rhyme. So she's basically saying that, you know, he's trying to almost like a Pied Piper entice people in to come along, and he's setting the stage, but setting the rhythm, but he failed to actually do that because she was still kind of strong. So that, I thought that was really great. I'm very fascinated by the composition and flow of this. I'm wondering if she's actually trying to make an actual picture with the poem, and I've been trying to figure that out, if anybody has that answer. But, yeah, it was very beautiful and deep, and I enjoyed it very much.
Great comment. Thank you. Olivia, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on what Daniel said. For me, when I saw this, it looks like the first teardrop. And for me, it was the tears that keep falling and they spread. And that's how I saw this. To me, this is very personal. God forbid this has happened to her, you know, where somebody just literally destroys you or just continually breaks you down. It's, you know, getting your clothes, replacing her, you know, pictures with frames, you know, basically erasing. It's an erasure of her. And, you know, it says, you know, everything that she owned, she just laid herself on top of it. And I can imagine her falling asleep and just crying. And then to take your children, I mean, there is nothing more painful to a mother than to have her children taken away from her. You know, she says that, you know, it just, your heart's just beating. You know, she said she's looking at the crime, you know, something obviously happened, and he used it as an instrument to destroy her. And, you know, what I'm hoping is, that he can't destroy that courage that she has in her heart. And I hope that whatever's going in her life, that she continues to strive and move forward. And God forbid this really happened in her life.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Lee. Okay, Ashmis, I have one up if you wouldn't mind, please.
Sorry, I had you on mute. No problem. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is it the next one called What I Would Do But I Won't?
Yes.
Gray, there should be a note. I'm sorry, Ash. I did put
no
a
problem.
Note underneath there.
Oh.
If you look at the notes, this was a personal poem for her that she added for your contest, and I do believe she said that she would appreciate it if you did not. I don't know if that's her. Yes, it is. Do not read poem on radio. She did not want her poem read. That's why I left that note for you on there.
Okay, all right, okay. I'm going to post another one.
Still looking out.
I'm going to post another one. If you... Yes, thank you. If you wouldn't mind, please, reading the next one that I just posted, Ashmis.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was looking over it. And excuse me for any mispronunciations, I'm dyslexic, so I will do my best, though. Here we go. This one is called Kama Rupa and the Spiral, Phyrotaxis of Plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, good.
Good. Okay, here we go. Be it ray or fusiform cells, the celestial harmonica violently pushes through every sun-fed plant until its initials become the spokes of a bicycle wheel. We build bamboo towers now. The inner bark yearns for the circumference of the Godhead, sorry, as the dead heart would always nurses new life with its waters. The columnar tropical palms are still branching as if the sands of Egypt were still filled with gods. The silver linden and the red pine grow pregnant with their crowns. When Saint Bridget lights another fire, spring is here. The machinery of light is blinding next year's needles. Is there winter bloods and fluted rings? Hungry leaves are singing a rosette into being oxen is beginning to practice Santitos to initiate a new life in the meristematic torpography. Oh, the buzzing of bees. Oh, the golden spiral. And I'm very sorry to whoever wrote that if I messed it up. I really tried. There's some seriously.
You did well.
thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm sure someone could read it better, but that was a wonderful poem. I'll have to read it again to understand it since I just read it now. But
yeah.
If you give me a minute, I'll remark. Yeah.
thank you, Ash. In her author's note, she says, in botany, phyllotaxis is... Phyllotaxis is arrangement of leaves on a plant stem, from ancient Greek phylon, leaf, and taxis, arrangement. Phyllotactic spirals form a distinctive class of patterns in nature. So I thought it was beautiful on the description of the growth of leaves on the branch. You know, the machinery of light is blinding next year's needles. Just a beautiful poem. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, this is really interesting. It's two poems of Philotaxis, which is interesting. I don't know if that was part of the prompt for this, but very interesting that that word is there. And I really like how they took the Philo and really went in with the plants, and because they're obviously so dependent on light. I love the mix of mythology and science. It just so seamless that Diana is did, and she's really good at that. Of Egypt, we're still filled with gods. The pine linden and the pine red grow pregnant with their crowns. Just so beautifully descriptive. And being a fan of the Marvel movies, I think I figured out where Thanos came from, because I looked up Thanatos, who is a Greek mythology of figure of death. So I'm learning all kinds of new words tonight, too. So great job, Diana.
Great song. Thank you, Daniel. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, Diana writes such powerful metaphoric poems. I had to go look at what she initially wrote this for, and it was a picture of a baby laying on a leaf like it's being born, and it's got a curl around it. With this poem, her imagery is definitely, she's a powerful writer. So that's what I enjoy about it. But there are certain things that I liked in here that made me think of spring, where she says that the dead heartwood always nurses new life with its waters. And then she starts talking about the different shapes of leaves, geometry. And, and I love where she says, of Egypt we're filled with gods, the silver linen and the red pine grow pregnant with their crowns. I just thought that was absolutely lovely, especially when you go look at the picture. It's beautiful, and I really like this poem.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Ash, would you like to say anything?
As far as, one second, I'm sorry. I had the wrong one. I was looking at the next one you just pulled up, so I didn't. Sorry.
That's okay.
I don't mean that. I don't have it up right now. I figured y'all were good to go.
Yeah, that's okay. So this next poem is by Dodie Lee, and it's called The Simple Life. When that new day is dawning, and I wake up that summer morning, all I want is the sound of moving and cooing outside my bedroom window. When I open my eyes and face the ceiling, the wallpaper with pink flowers adorning, white wallpaper with pink flowers adorning, I wake up knowing that serenity is offered in my fine country house. When I leave my bedroom and trace the walls leading myself into the lounge, large grinded windows surrounding me, the first thing I see in my fine country house, the smell of breakfast will lead me to the kitchen where my husband makes do with eggs, bacon, and coffee too. I know then that I should take my seat in my little breakfast nook, where my food is served warm and complete, and my greedy cat beneath my feet. And when the evening falls, and I listen to my horses neighing in their stalls, I feel compelled to thank my God for blessing me with this fine country house and home. And in her author's note, she says, it is no bad thing to celebrate a simple life, and that's by J.R.R. Tolkien. So, I thought she captured the prompt beautifully, the simple life, waking up and enjoying your day in your country houses, and then, listening to your horses neighing in their stalls. You would thank God for all that. I would anyway. Such a beautiful picture that she's painted. Excellent writing, excellent poem. What did you think, Bill?
Thank you.
opinion. What did you think?
I agree with you. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And I, when I was reading it, once I read the author's notes, it made sense with Tolkien. I thought she actually captured his feelings beautifully, like from the books, and and especially that prompt. You know, I always said there's really only three things you need in life. You need a warm bed, meaning a house. You need a full belly, so you need food, and love of a good family, and everything else is extra. And that's kind of what she says here. I just love how beautiful and happy she is and content in her life. I wish everybody could, you know, find a little life and be like that. So it's so very inspiring and just a loving, you know, beautiful, positive poem. Enjoyed it very, very much. Really well done.
Thank you, Daniel. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Well, when I thought about this, I agree with Daniel. I agree with this simple life of such great beauty. You know, there's so many things that, you know, people forget. They forget to smell the roses and the blessings that they have in their home, you know, because society is always bigger car, bigger house, pool, you know, diamonds, watches. You know, it's the constant buy. You can't even get away with this in magazines. It's on the radio. It's on TV. And, you know, I love this type of lifestyle. You know, you wake up in the morning, you hear the birds and everything barking outside. And, you know, there it is. She says that she opens her eyes and she faces the ceiling where it's white wallpaper with pink flowers. And, you know, she loves her home. She loves what's in her home. And, you know, she says that she loves the smell of breakfast, which, I mean, who doesn't wake up to the smell of coffee and eggs or bacon or ham? You know, it just, you realize you have every, like, you know, Daniel said, you have everything you need. And, you know, you should thank God for blessing you with all the beautiful things that surround her. This was just a gorgeous poem. And I thought, just like Daniel said, was very well written to the quote.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. And Ash?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to come back and comment on after them two, but I guess what I could add is, you know, how can we be so happy to even think of those things, to sit there and be able to write something like this, and Daniel and I believe Lester, Julie or Julia, I'm sorry, but you know, what on top of what they said is just, it's so good to hear this kind of poetry. Mm-hmm. And they're not just talking about their husband. They're not just talking about their kids. They're talking about the horses and the cats and the smell of coffee. That's when you're able to sit there and enjoy that, you really know somebody who's writing about it is just completely within their element and their reality, and that's so refreshing to hear. I think that's the only thing I can really add to what everyone's already said. So great poem and wonderful read.
Absolutely, thank you. Lee, would you mind reading?
Do you want me to read?
Yes, please.
Gray?
Yes, please.
Okay. Unrehearsed by Kai Babb. You are play-dressed, unrehearsed. My heart wing shrimp of spring pool spilling lifeline quest sent to bless our stage with passion. Your frost-free verse of city flair. I dream through air composing rose with finer wine. Our world path flare is true free verse under lyrical sheets with cattail flare. Burning pin and tender yin, entwining first and the last prophecy, conceiving by the first beginning, seed we plant concealing blush, rainbow wishless, For me, thirsting were two blooms render filled on canvas, wild wind bending eye tone gladness, grooming now for what bears ever. Such unlikely haven for western raven, your orange birth thrust, feeder dust in pear and saddle, high tail straddle, rooster tail shavings, ski churned snow, kiss locked lips through frost show, holding on and letting go. Now our river caresses bank and sweet rock rolls, down throat motion, our splish splash wash, quoting frost and learning how to laugh and play, roving wet together swaying, our downhill stream to launch forever. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, this is a poem of love and depth. You know, it's woven with beauty and all that life has to give. I thought it was just an excellent expression of love, Hurst. What did you think, Bill?
Well, I think it was a well-written piece. And, great read, Lou. But it was definitely quite provoking. And so I want to thank her for sharing. Okay, Bob. Absolutely.
Thank you, Phil. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a really interestingly composed. That certainly full of great imagery towards love and desire. But I absolutely love the flow of it and the flow of the words. The kind of constant imagery brought together by the way that she's doing the rhymes. I thought it was really, really interesting. And I don't know if it was planned out or not. It seemed like it was. It almost seems like it's free flow rhyming, but it all works and comes together. So it was really, really interesting, just from a technical standpoint. You know, beautiful imagery, but then also just the way it was written. And that's Kaib. I think it's Kaibab. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but very, very prolific writer on here, and is kind of a master of many different styles. So. Really well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Ashmis, what did you think?
Yeah, I think it's really passionate. I always misinterpret things, but, I love the such unlikely haven for western raven or orange birthright theater dust to pair in a saddle hair tail saddle, and I may be completely wrong, and I don't, this is a very, this poem is very kind of everywhere, like in a way, not in a bad way, just very, there's a lot of things going on and subjects, and they just, to me, what I kind of got from it was that, it's like what people don't understand, like a western raven. That's why I brought up that lyric. It's like the western world or something, not really getting with the rest of the world. We're all newborn, and maybe that's why I'm a little eerie to point out that that's a very specific opinion. But just it goes along the same lines of like just, people don't understand me, and we can all have different languages and whatever. If you really get the time to learn someone else's language, you might not think they're mean. You realize they're really nice, or vice versa. So, and it just, this poem made me think quite a bit, and I think I have to reread it a few times, but which is a good thing in my opinion, to sit and think on something. But I really liked it, and very passionate, and well wrote, and well read also.
Absolutely. Thank you. Lee, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoy everybody's comment. I love hearing what everybody sees. For me, I'm not sure. It sounds like she's talking about somebody that she's fallen in love with. It says that the scent to bless our stage with passion. And, you know, and so she talks about the lyrical sheets, you know, that this person inspires her to write, that she believed, you know, here's another again, it says, promise thirsting where two blooms render filled on canvas, you know, that this falling in love, that both of them were thirsting for something, for thirsting for love. And then she also talks about, and that stanza that Ash was talking about, that about the orange burst, that, you know, she said that the kiss locked lips through forests show, holding on and letting go. So, you know, the relationship that they have, and that she says that, you know, that they would be together swaying our downstream to launch forever, that, you know, that, you know, I guess they both love Frost, and they laugh and they play while reading his poetry, and that they're going to be forever. At least that's kind of how I saw it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. It's called Just You by Matt. For you, I would scale 100-foot wall. For you, I wouldn't mind a hard fall. For you, I would go through any length. For you, I would love with all my strength. For you, there would be absolutely no limit. For you, if you ask for anything, I'd get it. For you, I would give all my heart and soul. For you, I would make pleasing you a goal. For you, I want you to know that my love will always be true. And if it ever came down to it, I would die and fall. And, you know, such a beautiful dedication of love. You know, he would do all these things for her, and just to know that he would know that he would die for her. A beautiful poem. Excellent sentence. Phil, what did you think?
I think this was a great brevity and a testament to, you know, first willing to do make or to keep them safe. I think that it was very, you know, it's just a lot of really good lines. This is what it is, got it. Oof.
Thank you, Bill. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was very beautiful and loving. Thought it had kind of a classic feel almost to it. I could see it as a, like a classical type poem, like a, you know, one that you learn as a kid, you know, kind of a, like, so I thought that was a great feel. Also a very musical feel to it too. I could see this being sung either as a like a rap song, or even as a just any kind of a musical stanza. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful, very well written.
Great comment, thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
Did you forget my name? That was a good read, and this was a, you know, beautiful poem by Masterpiece. You know, those are the words that a sincere woman would want to hear, because it would give her the peace and sincere mind that this person truly loved her. And it almost had that I love you not, that, you know, that continuous flow, but he didn't put not in there. He put in there what I will do for you. And, you know, that he would, everything would be for her, and, you know, that she wouldn't have to worry about any issues. I enjoyed the poem.
Thank you, Lee. And Ash, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the same thing, just very, very thoughtful and sentimental. Whoever, like, when you write something like this for somebody, it's very, you know, just down to earth, and you love them. This is written for somebody, you can tell, and that's always nice to see in here and read and wrote, and I love it. It's just, the for you. That very, just, you know, they want people to know. They want people to know. And I like that. That's why we write, why we do this.
Thank you. Okay, so, Victoria, do you mind reading for us?
Okay, give me a second. I need to refresh. Oh, I just turned it off. Hold on a second. I'm quick. Hold on. All right. This poem is titled Poetic Tale by Asama Chiba. Holding on the thoughts of your existence, visions, Springfield, and stormy winds echo and blast within, recalling a poetic tale from past times, past gone, written on pages with love's ink and the pull of heartstrings, creating a fascinating world full of plentiful gifts, feelings flowing like rivers, for love is the essence of everything. To love and be loved is the absolute perfection and radiance of inspiration that shall never fade. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And this is a touching poem, you know, holding on the thoughts of your existence, visions of Springfields and storm winds echo and blast within, recalling a poetic tale from times past gone, written on pages with love's ink and the pull of heartstrings. You know, love letters can do that, and poems can do that to you. They can take your heart away to another place and carry it with the reader throughout time. I thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful write. What did you think, Lee?
Well, you know, to me, this was very personal. I feel Islama's heart and soul in this, you know, that when you have been in a relationship where you truly feel loved and are loved and have that, you know, perfect relationship, you know, as best as you can, it never fades. And when you read somebody else's poetry, their thoughts, it just churns all the emotions, like she says, the echoes and blasts within your heart because you miss this person, and it brings back a lot of memories, you know, and it does, like where she says, with love's ink and the pull of heartstrings, you can feel this in your heart.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. And Bill, what are your thoughts?
I think this was just a beautiful write by Asama, and that in itself is not an unusual happening. I think it was just very well expressed. You know, I think that, you know, as she said, recalling a poetic tale from times past gone, written on pages with love's ink and the pull of heartstrings, creating a fascinating world full of plentiful gifts, feelings flowing like rivers, for love is the essence of everything. How true, you know, and nobody can take that away from you, you know, no matter what happens, that will live inside of you forever, you know, even if you have bad times near the end of it, it's still always, that will always live inside, it just doesn't disappear, and we can only deny it for so much.
So true.
So, excellent and beautiful work, Asama, and thanks for sharing.
Great comment, Bill, thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Asama has such a grand love of life and you know, exploration and love and just sees beauty in everything. And when she talks about love here, you can kind of, you know, see it. And I agree with Phil, where the, you know, the for love is the essence of everything is just such a great way of putting it. And I really also like that. To love and be loved, the absolute perfection, radiance of inspiration that shall never fade. And it really is true. Once you have that love, you know, it doesn't go away. You always have that. It's one thing that you always have as long as you're you're honorable to the love that you have. As long as it's there, nothing can take that away, no matter what happens, you know, even in death. So, you know, again, such a beautiful poem from Isama that I always expect from her. Always enjoy her writing. She's a great writer, and I like her radio show, too, if she's listening. I'm a fan of your radio show, Isama. Great job.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel. And yep. Ash, are you with us?
Let me see. No, she has not called back yet. She may not.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Would you mind reading the next one, Bill, please?
You betcha. Let me find it. This would be, oh, it's missing in action. It's here somewhere. Okay, by Red Firefly?
Yes.
Okay. This is called Celestial Being by Red Firefly. This is great, doesn't cut me any breaks. You see, I'm not getting any short ones tonight. He's giving me a long one. Okay, I'll get you. Celestial Being by Red Firefly. If I were to admire you all night, I would ask for a thousand nights more. So when I'd be greeted by daylight, I'd still have you around to adore. Every day would start with a hangover from drinking my fill of your beauty. And every night I would start over until my eyelids would become drooping. My eyes would memorize every detail, etched along the expanse of your face. In my every touch, love would prevail before I gently ease you into an embrace. I'd hold you while being engulfed in a dream where we'd be waltzing to a sweet symphony. The stars would glitter across the moonbeam that would surround us in its brilliancy. And you'd look more angelic than ever. I'd still wonder how you are so beautiful. For even in my dreams, I could never gaze enough for my heart to be full. I'd paint your face in a cloudy sky and let the sun rays act as your halo. It would make every ordinary being cry while the pretty ones would ruefully lay low. When morning dew would stir you awake, the world would stop to stare a while. It's a vision that could make my heart ache, made all the more glorious when you'd smile. If I were to admire you my whole life, I would ask for a thousand lives more, so in each world I could be your wife, and you could be eternally mine to adore. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bill. And that's such a touching poem, full of love and reverence. You know, you can feel the deep passion and desire that she has for this person in her life. It really reflects beautifully through her poetry. Just a fabulous poem. What did you think, Daniel?
Sorry, I was mutating there. Absolutely, I agree. And I love the title, Celestial Being. You know, and where she's just kind of stuck at night, you know, it's... There's nothing more, you know, if you have a love, you're just lying in bed. I'm not even talking about sexually, just being in bed and snuggling up and having that kind of world, almost like it's just you and her or him, and you're there, just, you know, holding each other together, just almost like her picture in her avatar. You know, there's nothing more satisfactory and safe. I can say this, but so many times, especially just lately, it seems like I want to get up in bed. I roll over and I kind of hug my wife, and I end up staying there for another, like, hour because I just get so comfortable.
Aww.
And so, you know, it's true. And I get so comfortable and just you just want to kind of stay there. And so, you know, that is kind of
snuggle, yeah.
Tribute, yeah. Just very comforting and you know, fulfilling. And this kind of tribute to, you know, celestial being of her, just kind of almost like just, you know, the whole world kind of comes down to just you and this person, you know, being together. Very beautiful love poem, really well written. I like the flow of it. So great job.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
You know, in that first line, it says, if I were to admire you all night, you know, it just shows the love that he has for this beautiful woman, you know, where he, you know, going along with Daniel's answer where he says, my eyes have memorized every detail etched along the expanse of your face, and in my every touch, love would prevail before I gently ease you into an embrace. You know, that is just, you know, you can actually see that. And, you know, and, you know, he keeps talking, you know, that her beauty is something that he admires. I paint your face in a cloudy sky and let the sun rays act as your halo. I love that. And then this is Santa. When morning dew would, you know, would stir you awake, the world would stop to stare a while. A vision that could make heart ache made all the glorious when you smile. You know, just knowing that this beautiful woman that he loves is in her arms, and it says that making a promise that I would love you my whole life. I would love to live 1,000 years to love you even more. You know, if I could be your wife, I would adore you for eternal. I just thought this was absolutely beautiful.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Daniel, would you mind reading the next one, please?
I absolutely would not. Give me one second here. Where are we?
Go, Daniel. Go, Daniel.
Well, why am I only seeing, why am I not seeing a poster? Why am I just seeing
I just
all
see
poetry?
A link.
Is this poetic?
Oh, there it is. I got it. It's by Poeta D. Capra. It's called Immortal Love. Gotcha. Darling, please give your all to me, as all the gods and I want it to be. Let us live in perfect harmony forever, not just bodies, but also souls together. Know you satisfy my every sexual desire. Just one touch can set my body on fire. Sexual exploits bring us immense pleasure, more needed, though, for love's true measure. Darling, don't give up on us. Don't admit defeat. More to a relationship than just a heartbeat. Good times, the greatest. Bad times can be weathered. When hearts beat together, I believe our love is forever. Wish to be inside you like blood running through your veins. Share with me, darling, all of your pleasures and pains. Whether loving in the moonlight or out under a burning sun, need more than bodies and hearts to be together as one. To share my every breath with you is my ultimate goal. Want to be with you, not just in body, but heart and soul. Come, give your all, sweetheart. Join me in the adventure. I have opened my heart and soul for you. Do please enter. Promise never to break your heart. It won't need mending. Love and devotion forever, put simply, it'll be never ending. Long after death, when our bodies are gone from this portal, hearts and souls together, our love be forever immortal. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And that's such a touching poem. You know, you can feel the power of the love that he has. And, you know, come give me your all, sweetheart. Join me in the adventure. I have opened my heart and soul for you. Do things enter. You know, when somebody opens their heart to somebody and it's accepted, you know, that just provides such a deep and powerful connection that is universal and unbound. What did you think, Bill?
I think that this was a wonderful write by Poeta. I think it was just really well written. Again, as I said so many times tonight, you know, there's nothing unusual for Poeta. And I think he did a wonderful job, and I think it was a beautiful dedication. So nice job, Poeta. Nice work.
Thank you, Bill. And Lydia, what are your thoughts?
You know, this is something that is unconditional love, you know, that he wants them to be together. And it's not just sexual desires or pleasures that make its heartbeat. It's, you know, he says that he wants their love to be forever, that, that he will never break her heart, and that through all their problems, whether it's good or bad or serious issues, they can work it out together.
and they can weather it because their love is forever. This was beautifully penned. Enjoyable, Poeta.
Well said, thank you. To you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Lou 100%. It's, you know, kind of beyond sexual desire with this and really beautifully penned. And you can feel his just longing and love for this person, this really, really deep wanting. I really like the "to share my every breath with you is my ultimate goal. I want to be with you not just in body but in heart and soul." And the way I think of that is not even just physically being there, but sharing your life. Like, to me, share every breath means you want to tell the person, hey, guess what just happened? You know, you want to just be part of each other's lives, is what I got out of that. So great job, beautifully written. I like the rhyming in it a lot as well too.
Well said, thank you, Daniel. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Weaver of Dreams, and I have a SoundCloud. Here we go.
Through the silence of the darkest hour, I hear her whisper, "Come to me, my love. I am cold, alone, and so afraid here." To have any contact with her, even this nebulous discourse, lights the gloom that lies heavy on me. I say, "Wait, I'll be there." Your voice is faint, but I know that you are calling me. If not you, what other spirit would play so cruel a game? There is one whom I know could believe and aid me, though I vowed I would never again speak her name. Verona, eager to atone, sets the scene. Three candles are lit, representing above, now, and below. The witch draws a sign, starts to read an incantation, loud and clear, to call and bind any spirit near us who wishes to cause harm to me or mine. There is a whoosh, and my love appears. "What? Why?" I gasp. Faintly I hear, "You forget about me a little more every day. I can't stand it. Soon someone will take my place, your new love." "Never," I sigh. My knife flashes, and I am with my love to stay.
Wow, how haunting was that?
Wow.
You know, what an ending. But, you know, she lay in the gloom. "Wait, I'll be there," she says. Her voice is faint, "but I know you are calling me. If not, what other spirit would play such a cruel game?" And then she goes to see the witch, and the witch brings the spirit of her lover to her. And, you know, "I can't stand it. Soon someone will take my place, your new love. Never," I sigh, "my night flashes, and I am with my love to stay." That is haunting and tragic. Such a sad, heart-wrenching poem, but beautifully written. What did you think, Bill?
You know, I think that this was a wonderful tale told, and I have to 100%, it was truly haunting. It had that edge. First, you know, you think, okay, she's just going to tell a tale. But then it draws you in deeper and deeper and deeper, and that ending was just totally unexpected by me, you know, so what can I say? I don't think I'm alone, but it really kind of knocked my socks off. I was like, whoa, you know, so... Just a wonderful job, Weaver of Dreams, and great read as well. I think her voice really adds a little something to her stories. You know, I don't know. I think she's wonderful. So, excellent work. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I too was a little taken aback by the ending, but it was a really amazingly penned story. It actually reminded me of Edgar Allan Poe the whole time, the way that she was writing it. But I think it's a really great, I'm assuming it's to the picture prompt, or she added the picture. I think it really speaks to the picture a lot. Just a very, very personal and beautifully written piece. Again, it reminded me of Edgar Allan Poe a lot, so I thought it was a great job of Weaver, who always does a great job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I love hearing Weaver of Dreams read her poetry. What I loved about this poem and the storytelling, I loved everybody's comments. You know, when somebody passes away, you know, it says that she hears her. And she, you know, and this the person that loves her is telling her, come to me, my love. I am cold, alone, and so afraid here. You know, she's afraid of, you know, being alone. And, you know, she has it, whether it's true or not, there is that midnight discussion that they're having. And, you know, she was afraid that she was going to fall in love with somebody else and forget about her. And then when she heard that, she says, you think that I could sit and forget about you, you know, because obviously they had a strong relationship. So she says, I can't stand it. She couldn't stand being away from her anymore. So she says, someone's going to take my place. And basically she, you know, she says never. And to prove her love, you know, she took her life to be with her, to stay with her forever so that they would be united forever. You know, it's a dark love poem, and it was well written.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up, and it is by Martha Kettle, and she has a SoundCloud.
My Wayward Heart by Martha Gettle. What am I going to do with my heart? It keeps tearing me apart. I keep thinking I can let you go, but my heart keeps whispering no. How do I control my wayward heart? How do I even make a start? All I can do is dream of you and wonder what to do. Because my heart won't take no for an answer this time. My heart is determined to make you mine. You have found your way into my heart, and to forget you I can't even start. You are the only one my heart can see, and it keeps whispering you have to belong to me. I don't know what to do with my wayward heart. It's taken control right from the start, because my heart won't take no for an answer this time. My heart is determined to make you mine. You have found your way into my heart, and to forget you I can't even start. Love is not just a word anymore, now that I've found the one I adore. And I can't fight my wayward heart, as you promise that we will never part.
Beautiful singing, and an excellent song as well. You know, the heart is, you know, it can be selfish at times when it wants what it wants. And, you know, you're just along for the ride. I thought she captured the essence of that perfectly in this song. And what did you think, Bill?
You know, I thought this was a well-penned piece, and I thought it was nicely done. I think it was a great expression of her thoughts throughout. I was going to say her emotions, but I don't know that I see that. I feel that she just really told the tale and said what she meant and meant what she said. You know, just put it out there, you know, to the in the universe, you know. My heart wants you. Come on. You know, so nice done, Mark. Great job.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Daniel, are you still with us?
No. Do you? What did you
yeah.
think?
Well, you know, I always love Martha's singing because she puts so much human emotion and descriptions in it. And when you're in love with somebody, you know, you don't want to let them go. You know, it's so hard to, you know, to let them go. It says, you know, that she's dreaming of him. And, you know, she wants this person to be hers. And it says, you have found your way into my heart. And to forget you, I can't even start. So, it, you know, it's just something where she says that she adores this person. And even though she has a wayward heart, she's promising him that if they get together, they'll never part, that she will love him forever. You know, so it's beautiful, beautiful song lyrics. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Lee. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem. This has a SoundCloud as well. This is by Bartley Bach. And I will play that. Just, here we go.
Mortal Rose. My mortal sap was in the softness of the soils that freed my morbid patent vein and filled me with desire to catch the light. My sleek lips charred like bitter cocoa seed in midday lingered. Drops of dew hung down my cheek on prickly thorns of sufferance. Fragrance of the night in a sultan's palace. Prayer to the moon for visible solace. Child of the half-light, serenity's deed. I, who wear the sun, surrender this hour, steadfast swallowed in morning doubtful song. Cast not your dark blanket of need or cult, arcane myth, script in scorn, culpable creed. La vie du soleil. Nothing lives forever.
Well, he's such a fantastic vocal artist. You know, he really puts life into poetry. And it pulls the reader in and encapsulates him in this fabulous poetry of his. Fragrance of the night in a sultan's palace, prayer to the moon for visible solace, child of the half-light, serenity seed. Just epic in his poetry and his read. What did you think, Bill?
I should know you're on a Phil first kick. I'm sitting here with the damn thing muted gone. Oh, that's my name. Yeah, I think this was an excellent write by Bartlebach. And I was trying to figure out where I wanted to pull from, you know, to make comments. But I guess I have to go, I mean, it's all good. So where do I begin? Where do I end? So I said, well, let's start at the beginning. And I really liked the way he entered into this poem by, my mortal sap was in the softness of the soils that freed my morbid sanguine vein and filled me with desire to catch the light. What a, you know, what an intriguing way to begin this poem. You know, the soil in vain. I don't know. I love that. And, you know, I mean, I could just quote all the stanzas, but I won't. You know, the first one, I'll go with that. I mean, they're all good. So where do you make that decision? You know, excellent.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bill. Great comment. And Lou, what did you think?
You know, I was deeply pulled into the poem and the music and his voice. You know, the loneliness for me of this black rose. And then I was reading some of the comments, and I wanted to see what he would say. And Bartlebach quoting, quote, "I called it dark or black rose, a human projection, almost a soliloquy, as if the rose could speak. But it's also a mirror many who suffer in silence might relate to without being too dark, cliche, bitter, or lost in self-pity. I speak in empathy, of course. Love, you could absolutely relate to this, as I have often been there myself, as others blindly impose laws, needs, and wills and judgment on others. We are the ones who live in obscurity or become obscure. You know, this is so deeply dark and beautiful, you know, that you can feel the loneliness. And he says, even though there's never been a black rose, you know, he says that he would, I who wear this sun surrender this hour, nightingales and shadows doubtful sung, cast not your dark blanket or culture need, arcane myth, script and scorn, culpable greed on me. You know, I would hope that somebody would not take advantage of somebody who is of this rare quality and had these qualities.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Okay, so I've got one more here, and this is by Here in My Heart, and it's called My Heart is Yours with an acrostic slant. Melting my heart into each other, we conform. Yes, only you have given me this feeling of joy. Here, holding you, our liking above reproach, evening enchantment, just you and me. Alone, we are savoring scent of ambrosia. Romance is right before us, my precious lover, taking such time to tell you of dreams to tempt. Insanely in love with you, so involved, you and I, sensually steaming within all of our desires. Yes, your promises lead to passions we sway. Openly, we observed in a kiss, what it leads to. Underneath an umbrella of love, me and you, rendezvous within rose petals without a detour. Sheepishly, we grin and savor within our bliss." Oh, that was sweet and romantic and very touching. What did you think, Bill?
I told you, Sue. I think this was a great piece by Debbie. Just really well written, clever. I wouldn't be able to pull that off. I just know it. Just really, really intriguing. It makes me go, wow, could I do that? No, I couldn't do that. I just know better. But definitely a wonderful one. Really, you know, Lou, like when you look at that, Lou, don't you look and go, yeah, I don't know. Too much thinking for my brain. I would be all turned around. But I think it was just a wonderful job in a clever, clever, clever form. So well done, mm-hmm. Deb, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I do love her acrostic, you know. My Heart is Yours, how she spells out with each letter the love that she has for this person, you know, that she's telling her that she's enchanted by her, that she savors the sense of ambrosia, you know, that she is your precious lover, and she, you know, she talks about desire and passion. And I love it when she says, openly we observe in a kiss what it leads to, underneath an umbrella of love, me and you. So she loves this person deeply. This is just a beautiful love poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liu, and thank you, Bill, for calling in tonight. Thank you, Daniel and Ashmis, for calling in tonight. I appreciate you all. Much love, poet.
Love you guys.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Love you guys.
Good night.
Good night.